Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
And I think that was about 21 seconds. I was right. Welcome back for hour number two. I've got Dr. Mixon, I've got Dr. Umat, and we're taking calls. If you've got a question for us or for them, you don't want to ask me anything, but you do want to ask them. Our toll-free number, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. And pretty much anything goes, anything you want to talk about. And with that in mind, let's just...
Well, before... Sorry, Pete, to interrupt you, but before we go on to another caller, we were asked just recently if there is progesterone cream available over the counter, and it turns out there is.
But...
Yes,
and there's
but,
a big but.
Always.
The amount of progesterone,
yes,
the potency of the progesterone is extremely low.
Sure.
And the forms, things that are represented as progesterone, are frequently progestins,
yes,
but not actually bioidentical progesterone.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same situation. There's a lot of people selling things that have growth hormone on the label, but they aren't growth hormone. They use growth hormone data to sell stuff that's not growth hormone that they claim will raise your growth hormone. But by law, it is a prescription drug. And same thing, people sell yam creams to get their estrogen. Well, yams contain estrogens, but not human estradiol, which is the hormone people make. And whenever some lady will tell me, you know, I'm using yam cream to get my, and I say, lady, you're not a yam. Nor are you a cupid. Why is there feedback in my head?
I don't know. We've got a little echo, but yeah. I don't think the audience can hear it.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
But yes, you know, you're not a cucumber, you're not a bean, you're not a soybean, you're not a yam. The hormones found in vegetables are related to but are different from what human beings make. And when we give something to a human being, I want it to be exactly what the human body is designed to function with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that is.
And also, when you're buying over-the-counter, the amount of progesterone is not regulated for what you need. It can vary, and so you have to be very careful. I think they make it for cosmetic purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and very low doses of progesterone. Oh, boy, this echo is driving me crazy. Very low doses of progesterone on your skin will give you very pretty skin. It improves the elasticity. It will fill in some of the fine wrinkles. That's why I apply my progesterone to my face and neck every night.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm as vain as the next guy in his 70s. I want pretty skin. I don't want to have any excess wrinkles. So my progesterone goes on each evening because it helps me sleep well. I take it along with my pregnenolone, my stress guard, my melatonin,
mm-hmm,
my evening pills. Makes me sleep like a baby.
Yep.
There you go.
You put me on it about a year ago, and I'm so glad you did. I used the cream and put it on my face and neck, and there you go. I see how beautiful I am?
See?
Yeah, well, we are limited by what the good Lord created, but whatever.
Oh, goodness.
Crazy.
Why didn't you say something back to him?
I I'm a gentleman.
Because I'm the boss. It's good to be king.
He didn't want to hear me say, bite me. Bite me. All right. Okay. Well, that is interesting. All right. Let us now go to Whidbey Island and talk to Gus. Hello, Gus. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Pete. Regarding your beautiful face, it's made for radio.
Gus, I have to tell you something, Gus.
You're about to get cut off, Gus. He's got the button.
Gus, I've been doing this for 40 years, and I've heard that a time or two. But that is
I'm
funny.
I'm sorry.
But
that's all right.
But you didn't hear it as much 40 years ago.
No, I didn't hear it as much.
We were all a lot better looking 40 years ago than we are now.
Yeah, well, I can relate.
My wife saw a picture of me at 40.
Uh-huh.
And she said, if we get to come back, will you find me when you're that age?
Yeah, but she'd be 7 years old, so that would not be a good thing. So anyway.
That's right.
All right, Gus, how can we help you, sir?
All right. I have 2 points to make and one question. First, I listened in on the very first segment. Dr. Mixon, I thought that discussion on susceptibility factors was enlightening, really informative, and actually calming. And point two is that with this virus, we've got a whole nation that is just on edge because of the we're getting whipsawed by conflicting, you know, debates about what is what isn't reality. And you just talked about the simplicity of, well, here's what we know today. So the point is, with all this confusion and misleading stuff and the country getting pushed and pulled, there's a fear factor that I think is suppressing immunity. I mean, these the social, the psychological, the economic pressure that's generated because we're getting pulled and pushed leads to point three. Why isn't there, at a high level, a panel of nonpartisan political doctors like yourself that sit there on a panel and say, well, here's what we know this week, and just lay it out there, and people can be enlightened. They can. It's fascinating. It's good TV. I mean, I would watch it. I mean, people watch Senate hearings, for crying out loud. Why can't there be a panel or a hearing that says, here's what we know today?
Yeah.
Pride, money, tradition. Stupidity. There's a few reasons I can.
Well, but why can't the private? No, why couldn't the private sector? Why couldn't the private sector say, we're pulling three doctors from here and three doctors from there, and this is not a political panel.
It would be nice. Yeah, it would be nice if politics didn't enter into medicine. I agree with that. Some of the best microbiologists, immunologists, virologists in the planet have basically been deplatformed. They were thrown off YouTube. They're not allowed to be on Twitter because they've said things that the science indicates, but that are not supported by the current approved narrative of the press. So unfortunately, there are potent forces in our society that do not want to hear both sides of an argument. They only want to hear their side of any given position. And unfortunately, Twitter and YouTube, and Facebook, these very powerful groups each have their own position, and they will not allow anyone that disagrees with them. They basically deplatform them.
So, but the way to become platformed is money. Money can buy you TV time.
Yes, it can. It can, but this...
Money can buy you this, visibility.
This local radio show, okay? And this is a small radio show that we're on here. Just on Saturday morning...
Seattle area.
Seattle area, one of the cheapest times around. I put $600,000 a year into Saturday morning radio. I have to buy this time. Nobody mm-hmm. gives it to me. All right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what the cost would be if we tried to go national? You know, we're talking about millions of dollars per Saturday. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have that kind of money.
So you have influence. Why can't you find a senator in Olympia? Let's just reduce it down to the state of Washington. And some senator in Olympia says, look, I'm having hearings. I'm going to impanel the five smartest doctors in the state of Washington, and I'm sure there's a few of them, and put it on C-SPAN. If people want to watch it, they can watch it.
Yeah, not a bad idea. I'm not quite sure, you know, who we're going to get. I don't know politicians. I'm not a terribly political person. I have political opinions, but I have never been really involved in the whole political process. And part of that, I guess, comes from my very skeptical view of politics in general. You know, Dr. Mixon's politics are fairly simple. Okay. People who want to run their own lives stay home and run their own life. People who want to run other people's lives seek public office. And, you know, the left wants to run my life in one way. The right wants to run my life in another way. What they all seem to have in common is a belief that they can run my life better than I can. And I disagree with them strongly. But since I have no desire to run anyone else's life, I don't go into politics. I offer advice. You can accept it. You can reject it. The fact is, if you want to accept it, I'm going to charge you for it. So,
But your discussion about susceptibility, first time I've heard anything like that in the 6 or 8 months of this thing that we're in.
And yet it is in the literature. You can go, and let me give you a simple platform. This is a fascinating thing you can do. Go to the New York Times, right? A clearly leftist position. Yeah. Look at their COVID-19 tracking. And they will list the reported cases and the deaths for every country on planet Earth. And look at the Asian countries versus the European countries. You'll see countries that have populations that are enormous, but tiny, tiny, tiny death rates. So the data is there.
Well, I've been to Thailand, and I see how close people are packed together. To hear that they've got one of the lowest rates is amazing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's mind-boggling, but it's not just Thailand. Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore. You know, their rates, when they say we're having a outbreak and a big increase, their big increase is nothing compared to our big increase.
Hey, with that in mind, Gus, thank you for your call, truly. This is a good question. Keep listening because
I just wish I had a better answer for you.
Yes, and it's been frustrating you for as long as I've known you.
Yes.
I mean, you would think common sense... Excuse me. Common sense will prevail. Quite frankly, I've found as I've gotten older, common sense rarely prevails.
Common sense is not common.
That's right. There's no longer any right or wrong or what have you. Don't get me started. Anyway, it is very frustrating. Tradition, politics, money. I mean, different medical boards in different states see things completely differently. Yeah. They have access to the same facts.
They do. But they interpret those facts in very different ways.
That's right.
And much of life is a matter of interpretation. You know, you are a born-again Christian. You see right and wrong. I see destructive and beneficial. I don't make judgments. You know, if it helps my patient, it is good, whether it violates somebody's religious belief or not. If it hurts my patient, it is bad, whether it violates anybody's particular relief or not. Because in my world, science doesn't care what I think. It doesn't care what I believe. It doesn't care what I want. What is. And the job of the scientist is to try to discover what truly is. Mm-hmm. And under what circumstances is it, and what makes it change? Yeah. So my morality is simple. Help my patient, good. Hurt my patient, bad. Beyond that, I do not make judgments.
Well, that is one way to do it. And the fact is, not everyone agrees with you.
Of course not.
And like I said,
medical, I don't ask them to.
That's right. But, well, you do, because medical boards will penalize you if you don't do it their way, even if a medical board stands in direct opposition
to both law and science, yes.
To both law and science. And so it is frustrating. I can understand why Gus is frustrated.
Sure.
Just tell the truth.
But they have
that
power.
That seems logical.
Yes. But
and
power
it's
corrupts.
So frustrating.
Power does corrupt.
Oh, my gosh. We could take the rest of the hour on that, but we won't. When we come back, we'll take some more calls. We've got Doug and Ruth ready to talk and with their questions. We've got two other lines that are open for you to call right now with your questions. Call us at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770.
Do my friends notice anything different about me since I've been on longevity? You bet they do. They ask me all the time, where do you get that energy and zest for life? And I tell them, longevity.
In every other song that I've heard lately, some fellow gets shot, and his baby and his best friend both die with him, as likely as not. In half of the other songs, some cats cry, are ready to die. We've lost most all of our happy people, and I'm
okay, get ready
why.
Here.
Let's think about living.
Let's keep it up there.
Loving.
Louder.
Think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, lovey dubbing. Let's forget
it's
about
the
wine
music.
And the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about living.
Let's think about life. Yeah, I love that. That's one of our supposed theme songs.
That's right.
For Longevity Medical Clinic.
I'm not crazy about the switchblade knife part, but these days it's more likely to be an AK-47.
That's right. Anyway, let's think about living in life. All right, and I just got reminded I need to give the number. Yes, most people make their free health analysis appointments online. Actually, about 92-93% do. And if that's you, great. Just go to lmclinic.com and make the free health analysis appointment. But if you want, maybe you don't have a computer. That's okay. You just call us at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. All right, let's go to Tacoma and talk to Doug. Hello, Doug. Welcome.
Hey, sorry if there's any sound quality. I had to leave, and I'm on a device in my car.
That's
so,
okay.
My question was that with the pandemic and that it came from animals to humans, I'm wondering, can't it reverse and go back to humans? And why don't we have an epidemic of domestic animals dropping like flies?
Well, the closest cousin to this particular virus is the intermediate horseshoe bat, which has a range that's limited to southeast India, northern half of Vietnam, and southern China.
And that's it.
That's it. So this is a small bat, not much of a food source, so nobody really eats the intermediate horseshoe bat. But it's found in southern China, northern areas of Vietnam, and parts of India. So it's a virus that's well adapted to that one particular species. And the question is, how did it get over to human beings? You know, and that is where the conspiracy theorists come in, because it was first identified in the city of Wuhan, China, which is about 900 miles from the northern range of the bat. So the bat doesn't exist up in Wuhan. And people were talking about it coming out of the wet market, the live animal market, but no one in that market sold the intermediate bat. It's too small, and it's not a food source for anybody there. But there were two government-sponsored research labs. One of them only a few blocks from that market, the other one only about 2 miles away, that do use this particular bat in their viral research. And so a reasonable speculation, though we don't have firm proof because the Chinese will not let us go look at those labs, but a reasonable speculation is that it probably came out of one or both of those laboratories.
Mm.
Okay, because that's the only source of this particular bat that carries this virus anywhere near Wuhan. So
our domestic animals would be immune to it?
Yeah, it doesn't even spread to other bats, much less our domestic animals. However, let me qualify that, okay? There was an article a couple of months ago about somebody a veterinarian who said he had found the virus in a dog. Now, that's an isolated report. There are no reports of it spreading through canines as a group. And I don't know if that had been debunked, if they double-checked it, you know, was a contaminated sample, was it what? But there was one vet who claimed that he isolated the virus from a dog.
And which country?
Here in the United States.
Oh, here.
Yeah. So, you know, I take that for what it's worth, which is I raise my eyebrows. I say, that's odd.
It is odd.
But it has not been confirmed. Okay. And, you know, we don't see it spreading through any other animals. And why to a dog?
Mm.
You know, some breeds of dogs like beagles have immune systems that are relatively close to humans, but most dogs do not. So I doubt it. Pigs are a lot closer to humans, actually, from an immune response. So if it was going to spread to an animal, it would be a pig, most likely not dog.
Interesting.
Anything
else, Doug?
No, thank you. You've answered my question quite well.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I had no idea you knew all that. We've never talked about it, and I had no idea.
Hey, let's run.
How you know all this, I have no idea.
Let's run over to Silverdale and talk with Ruth. Hello, Ruth.
Hi.
Hello, Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. Tall, good. Brilliant, incredibly handsome.
Don't ask, Ruth. Don't ask.
How can I help you, Ruth?
Well, I'm a caregiver for my mother, and she's going to be 102 next month.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been struggling with a bout of ringworm with her over the last, actually, few months.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor has her on terbinafine, 250 milligrams of terbinafine, and it doesn't seem to be helping. She's actually suffering from it quite a bit. She has not been around any animals at all, I'll have to say ever, because it's been years since she's been around any animals. So I'm thinking maybe she picked it up in the hospital last fall. I just don't know what to do about it because we're not getting, it's spreading, you know.
Okay.
Right. Under her breast, it's going on her legs and her arms, and it's getting worse. And I just don't know what to do about it.
Well, and that is an issue. At 102, her immune response really, really is inadequate.
Right. I actually also had her on, was giving her a supplement called L-lysine. Someone had suggested to me that might help her a little bit. But I really don't know that much about it. So my question is this terbinafine or the L-lysine or anything we could do to help her more than that?
Okay. There are several drugs similar to terbinafine that are possibles. But let me talk a little bit, because most of our audience has no idea what ringworm is.
Good point.
Despite its name, it's not a worm. All right. It's a fungus infection. And because it tends to grow in kind of a circular pattern, you get this round spot with some clearing in the center and then this area around the outside that is most inflamed. It gets red and a little swollen. It looks like there's something under the skin there. And so it got the name ringworm, as though there were a worm growing in a ring. It isn't. It's a fungus infection growing on and into the layers of the skin. Now, the problem we've got with fungal infections is that they are not animals. They're not bacteria. They're not animals like we normally think of. They're not a parasite. funguses are closer to plants than animals. You know, you can shoot an animal, it'll fall over and die. You poison an animal, it falls over and dies. Poison a plant, it takes a long time to kill it. All right? And when you've got these fungi, these things that are metabolically much closer to plants than animals growing in your skin, getting rid of them is a slow, difficult process because they're growing in the upper layers of the skin where there's not a very good blood supply to start with because most of the blood supply is deeper down. And so whatever drugs we give her orally are going to be carried to the site through the bloodstream, but the fungus is growing up above that layer where the cells are relatively indolent and starting to die with a poor blood supply anyway in those upper layers of the skin. And so getting an adequate supply of the drug to the fungus is a problem. Applying the as a cream in addition to the systemic is usually a good idea because you put it on the cream, you've got it now coming down from the surface towards the critter and coming up from below from the blood supply to the critter, and you want to kind of get the blood levels high enough to cover it. The problem we've got, of course, is that fungi, just like bacteria, are susceptible to different poisons, different drugs. And what you really want to do is you want to collect a sample of that with a deep scraping. You want to send it to the lab, have the lab grow this fungus in laboratory in growth media, and try every known antifungal agent around against it. So you can, in the lab, you can try 5-6 different drugs against it and see which one is most effective. It may be that the drug she's on is not as effective as another one might be.
Right.
So, you know, my first step, if she were my patient, would be to culture it and do what we call cultures and sensitivities. You grow it in the lab and you try a whole bunch of drugs against it there. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, your best bet for her is to see if the doctor will give you a topical prescription to go with the oral drug that he's given her and see if raising the blood levels from both directions might help.
The suggestion for the topical, I think, was called Lodamar or Lodamin.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Which I have been putting on, but it seems to... It helps, and then it flares up again. And then it helps, and it flares up again. So it helps a little bit, but it... And then again, I'm wondering if... If the actual sore, the fungus sore itself, should be dry rather than moist. I've been kind of maybe rinsing her with a little bit. When I shower her, I rinse her with a little apple cider vinegar and water, which was suggested to me, too.
Yeah.
We're sort of desperate. We're at the point where we're trying just about anything.
Yeah, well,
so
and most fungi don't like acid environments, which is why the suggestion of the apple cider vinegar.
Okay, don't do that. All right.
No, they don't do well with acid. So the vinegar, if anything, might help some.
Yeah.
Your problem here, though, is that when you put the Lotrimin cream on and it seems to help, don't stop putting it on just because it's getting better, because that fungus is still there. That fungus is still there for a long time. They die slowly, slowly. You got to put it on till there has been no sign of it for, you know, at least a week or so. It has to be totally cleared and healed before you stop treating it.
Jerry, she also asked about lysine. What do you think about lysine?
You know, lysine is kind of an interesting amino acid. You know, There are viruses, there are yeasts and fungi that seem to be sensitive to high lysine loads. So, but I don't know about this particular one. Because for one thing, I don't know which fungus it is. You know, my first degree was in microbiology. Okay, that was my first bachelor's degree. And, the list of fungi that can grow on human skin is just enormous. You really need to know what bug you're fighting. One of my aphorisms is, if you don't know exactly what you're treating, the chances of treating it effectively are pretty poor.
Right. I've used lysine mainly for cold sores and stuff like that, but not for fungal infections.
Yeah. Viruses especially. Herpetic viruses, lysine is very effective.
Very effective, but not for fungal infections. Yeah.
So there you go, Ruth. Thank you for your call. That opens up a line. If you have a question for Dr. Mixon or Dr. Umat, here's the number, 800-465-8770. Go ahead and call it now. We will get to you, I promise. We've got a question from John coming up about calcium in the blood. Bonnie has a question from Edmonds about ear irritation. So how about your call, your question? We need to hear it because there's other people out there. The reason we do this live is because if you have a question, odds are there are plenty of others who have the same question. So do yourself a favor, and us, and the rest of our listeners. Call us, 1-800-465-8770.
Hey, my wife and I are patients of yours for probably 12 years or so. I really appreciate all you guys do. We really do. Comes from my wife, too, because she just loves Dr. Umat. You know, they talk about everything. But thank you very much, and you guys have a great weekend.
Patsy Cline was a sweetheart. We lost her way too early. The only thing I feel bad about her is sort of like Angela Lansbury with Murder, She Wrote. You never want to be in the same room or building or state with Angela Lansbury because someone's going to die. Well, with Patsy Cline, with Patsy Cline, all of her songs, she got stood up, she got hurt, she's... in pain and agony.
Aww.
But they were lovely songs.
Well, that's country music, though. You know.
She tried to cross.
Husband
over.
Or the wife cheated. Somebody got shot. The dog died. The pickup truck broke down.
Anyway, I love her music. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. And you just heard the little testimonial coming back from the break before Patsy's song. From a guy who just is, he's been a patient for 12 years. Now, why on earth? I was at dinner about several months ago with a group of guys, and I hadn't met all of them yet. And two-thirds of the way through the dinner, there's about 17 people there. And the guy said, and by the way, Pete, you don't know this, but I've been a patient at Longevity for 19 years. And I thought, wow. So why on earth would somebody be a patient for that long? I'm being a wise guy, of course,
asking an
obvious setup question.
Okay,
but here these people pay good money.
And they've been paying it for 19 years.
And they've been paying it for 19 years.
And that's because they like the results.
And by the way, this guy who's been a patient for 19 years is clearly not a wealthy individual.
Yeah. But, you know, look, we've got bus drivers and, I mean, we have people, a fair number of people of moderate means. This is not a clinic for the wealthy. I keep the prices as low as I can and, you know, and not go negative. I mean, I can't afford to pay for the privilege of treating people. So the clinic needs to cover its own expenses, but, you know, I don't ask a lot more than that from the clinic, really. It's kind of my good deed for the world. When people have asked me in the past, how long should I do this? How long should I do the treatment? My answer is you can stop anytime you feel like getting slow, fat, weak, dumb, and sexless.
Hey.
And, you know, that's when you stop.
You know what's really funny? What I love, and this happens all the time, people are patients for 2, 3, 4 years, and they're feeling great. And they're thinking, well, I feel great. Yeah. I don't need longevity.
And they quit.
Yeah, and 6 months or a year, they come back.
Actually, not that long, by the way.
I didn't realize how good I was doing until
I
stopped.
Yeah, that's all right.
So, so why should you continue it long term? Well, you don't need to. You know, if your goal is to get slow, fat, weak, dumb, stupid, and sexless, hey, Stop.
Well, the other point, too, you know, as we are rooted in science, Jerry, so many things in science and even within our own specialty have changed in the last 20 years. When you first started out, there were so many things you didn't do and so many things you did do that are different now.
Yes.
And we incorporate those changes into the patient's care, and we add or delete more as they are changing, too.
And we change what laboratory tests we do, because some tests that we've done for a long time we decided are not as useful for us.
Right.
And we substitute other tests in their places. And in fact, we're in the process of
doing
this right now with some testing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life changes.
It does.
You know, the sign of life is progress.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're either going forward or you're going backwards, but never are we really standing still.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's dynamic, and our patients know it. You know, remember there was a few years ago you started the 23andMe, and we offered it, and then it was shut down by the Fed, so we had to take it away, and then it came back. You know, so things are just changing all the time.
That's right. And you know, we have to obey the laws
and follow the science.
That's right. We don't always agree with the laws. We don't always like the science, but we do.
That's true.
There's a whole lot of stuff about the universe that offends me. I wish was different, but it is, and I have to deal with it as it is, not the way I wish it was.
You know, the one thing that I hear, well, we hear actually people call in and make this comment, but our patients keep telling us that they keep being shocked because they keep learning new things that they've never heard before.
Well, that's because I learn something new.
That's right.
That's right.
And, learn it. I tell the docs. The docs tell them.
That's right. And then you tell them on the radio.
If you would like the advantage of sort of a coach, like we talked about earlier in the program, the first step, it's a baby step, but it's one we pay for. Mm-hmm. It's a free health analysis appointment, and we give you two free tests, a blood test and a special in-body test. It's fascinating. My son showed me his in-body yesterday.
Okay.
And he was so excited because his body fat ratio had dropped over the last, I think it was a couple of months or what have you. He was so excited. And boy, all of the things that are on that that report, so exciting. Anyway, that's one of the free tests. And you'll learn what some of your basic health risks are. That's the purpose of it, so that if you don't measure, you don't know. So we do some measuring for you. It's free. And at least through the end of the year, we're still offering $100 of free longevity supplements just for coming in and taking those, having those two tests done. I promise you, if nothing else, you will learn and you will be encouraged, because information gives you power. That's we want to give that back to you. Simply make your appointment at lmclinic.com or call 866-86-YOUNG. You can do it that way too, 866-86-YOUNG. Let's go to Tacoma and talk to John. Hello, John.
Hello, John.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, here a few weeks ago, you had a doctor on that did angioplasties, and it was very, very interesting. And during that period, you also referenced a blood test that you look for certain items. If it was high, you wanted the people to possibly get back with their cardiologist. Well, I got a physical from VA, and I was making copies for my primary care. And I was looking down through it, and I'm like, calcium? Was that one of the items you were talking about? That if it was high,
no,
it was.
We were talking about a cardiac calcium score, which is a computerized axial tomography of the chest, where you actually look for calcium deposits in the blood vessels of the heart.
Yeah.
That's very different from the serum calcium test you got from the VA.
Yeah, that's a CT scan of the heart, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that's the one that saved my life. We won't go into all the details, but you, Dr. Umat, said that though my blood work looked pretty good, but you just had a hunch. You said, I just think, I remember you saying it this way. I just think, Pete, you ought to consider, would you be what you asked me, would you be willing to have the calcium score test? And of course, I'm pretty smart. And I said, okay, if you say I should. And
smack you around a little bit and get your attention.
And on a scale of one, or on a scale of 0 to 400, I had been around 112 or something like that 4, 5, 6 years ago. And when I went in and had it done, I remember you called me in Hawaii. I'm sitting there drinking a mocha, looking at the whales and on the beach. And you told me, I'm sorry to interrupt you on your vacation, but your calcium score was 527. On a scale of 0 to 400, I was a little concerned.
Wow.
And you, yeah, and you were concerned.
Yes.
And in fact, you were quite dramatic. You said, for a time, you are now off all sugar. You are off all meat, even for the while. I can have a little meat now, and yeah, I'm back to normal.
But we got to take you, still got to get you off all the carbs.
Yes, and I still got to worry about the carbs. But my point being, it saved my life. I won't go into the rest of the story, but it saved my life. Yeah.
But the upshot is that test we were talking about is not a blood test. This was a,
right.
This was a,
yeah. Yeah, I understand that.
Computerized
now, yeah,
test of his chest that Dr. Umat had ordered. So,
yeah, I just hadn't noticed the calcium. In fact, I was reviewing the one from my primary, and it doesn't have calcium on it. And yeah, and I guess that's what tripped my interest, was I said, "Oop, I better get a."
Well, the sad thing here, isn't it, right, Jerry and Samira? Insurance companies don't pay for the calcium score test.
Well, many of them do now.
They do.
Oh, they do, yeah. Just 3 years later, yeah, they do now.
That's yeah, right.
Yeah, when you had yours, it was still too new for the insurance companies.
Oh, now for crying out loud.
Most insurance are starting to cover it. Now, there's probably a few that don't.
Yeah. Well, it was only about $100.
It's still about $100. And yeah, so if you want to bypass that whole system and pay for it out of pocket, you can just get in the same day for the test, actually. That's how quickly they're doing it here locally. But if you want to wait for insurance clearance, then it takes a little bit longer.
Well, yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But a smart thing to do.
And then with your copay, you're going to pay $40 or $50 anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, why not get it right away? So, yeah, anyway, anything else we can help you with, or was that any concern, sir?
No, that was it, because I have some blockage, and I just didn't. I wanted to, you know, flag my cardiologist just in case, you know.
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting. Right now, we are looking at adding some lab tests to our panel that have not been done in the past that actually can look at the inflammatory markers within the wall of the artery that will be a blood test that will be able to tell us how much inflammation is actually in the arterial wall, which I think is going to be really useful, and it's one of those things we want to add for our patients.
That's right.
So,
yeah, very excited about that. But serum calcium doesn't really tell you much about your heart status. It's part of a metabolic panel. You probably have had it done, and by far and away, it's usually normal.
Yeah. It's rare, and if it's not normal, it's usually a hypothalamic pituitary dysfunction.
Right, or parathyroid glands or something like that. Yeah.
Well, at the time, you were telling me that most primary care physicians were not recommending it.
That is correct.
And that actually I found to be sort of a sad state of affairs. Are you now telling me they are recommending it?
I didn't know they were recommending it. Yeah. I know that many insurance companies are starting.
Insurance companies are paying for it, and then cardiologists are using it, right?
One more reason to allow Longevity Medical Clinic, our doctors here, help you with your health care. That's why we call the show Leading Edge Medicine. You need to be on the leading edge. Hey, we'll be right back.
I would like to thank you for having this program and for having your longevity program. If I listen on the radio, I always learn something, and it keeps me on the straight and narrow. I think, boy, I need to take some more responsibility for myself.
Yeah, I should take responsibility for me, too.
No, they don't want that. That's a little handful. Only your wife can take responsibility for you.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting testimonial there,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
She said all of a sudden she realized she needed to take personal responsibility for her own health. What a novel concept.
It is novel in modern America, though. You know, there's an enormous sort of feeling that someone else should be responsible for your health care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a large segment of our society firmly believes that, you know. You should pay for your own vacations. You should get your own clothes. You buy your own food. But when it comes to your health care, someone else needs to be, should be responsible for your health. And I'm saying, why?
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
It is. I mean, this is the most critical thing in your life. It is your life.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you know, a large segment of the American population does not want to be responsible for their own life. That's just crazy. I mean, I don't call my fellow citizens crazy very often, but that is crazy.
Okay. Well, in any event, this is what longevity does. We work with your primary care physician.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we require, basically, don't we? We require everybody, because yes. we don't do primary
care. We try to require. There are people who ignore us and simply will not get a primary care doctor, and they try to use us for it, and we have to keep telling them no. You know, we do not want to take care of your routine stuff. You know, you're an asthmatic, don't call us to do your asthma medicines.
Come on.
We are a specialty clinic. We only do what we do. But, you know, people are people. They want one-stop shop for everything.
Anyway. We have time. Yeah, let's go to Bonnie in Edmonds. Hi, Bonnie. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Bonnie.
Yes, thank you. Say, I'm calling because I'd like to, before I get my question in, I want to mention what I heard you talking earlier to someone about coronavirus in the Asian countries is far less.
Uh-huh.
Well, Dr. Mixon, I mean Dr. Oz on his radio show on the other day had a coronavirus and building immunity. And he's saying that the reason that they don't have so much coronavirus there is because they eat rice and not wheat, which it transforms into gluten. And it's the gluten in your gut that causes problems and tears down your immunity.
There are people
have you heard that?
Yes, there are people that have gluten sensitivities and don't tolerate the gluten in their gut. Other people seem to tolerate it very, very well.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those, you know, genetic specific sort of things. Some people don't tolerate gluten at all. Some people tolerate modest amounts of gluten.
But she's saying it's related to coronavirus, and the rice-eating population have less?
Well, she's talking about, though, that the gluten with the leaky gut syndrome suppresses your immune response.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have leaky gut syndrome, you do have poor immunity, and you would be susceptible to all viruses.
That's right. Not just coronavirus.
Not just coronavirus. Yeah. But, and it's true, you know, rice is a staple in a large part of Asia, although there are large areas of China where noodles, which are usually wheat, are the staple instead of rice. So, you know,
I eat a lot of noodles that are made with rice that are delicious. Mm-hmm.
You can get rice noodles. Yeah, I like rice noodles a lot. Throw them in my salads, actually. Sure. But, and my wife is one of those Chinese that just doesn't eat much rice. So. Mm.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yesterday, I heard on a program a gentleman who had tested positive corona, and he'd just gotten a cat, and they tested the cat, and it had feline corona virus.
Well, okay. Yeah, feline coronavirus is different from the novel. You got to remember, coronavirus is a class of viruses.
That's right.
And there are dozens, if not hundreds, of different coronaviruses out there.
Exactly.
Okay. That's true. Because isn't the flu itself a form of a corona?
No, no. Influenza is a whole different class, although it is also an RNA virus. They're both RNA viruses. But about 30% of the common colds are caused by different coronaviruses. Most of us have had coronaviruses at some point in our lives. In fact, many of us have had them many times, depending on how susceptible you are to the common cold. But this particular coronavirus, this COVID-19, is a different one that has just recently made the leap into the human population. Now, we will adjust to it, and it will adjust to us. In fact, it's in the process. It is mutating now. The virus that is spreading at the moment does not appear to be nearly as lethal as the versions that first came. So that part is good. Although it's more infective, it infects us more efficiently. It just doesn't kill us as much. So, you know, it's changing. We're changing. It's a common it's a common occurrence when a bacterium or a virus comes into the human race. It is often very lethal initially. And then over time, it mutates, and we change our response to the bug, and the bug changes its response to us, and over time, it becomes less and less fatal. So,
okay. Now, I have one last quick question, and that I believe it'd be for Dr. Umat, because I've had an inner ear itch for years, and it drives me crazy. Sometimes I feel like there's fluid in it, like when you go swimming and get water in your ear. And I went to a ears, nose, and throat specialist here in Edmonds, and I wasn't very satisfied. He just said, your ear looks really dry, and, you know, and he put a tube down my nose and checked my throat because my voice is getting hoarse, thinking maybe whatever is in the ear is dripping down into my throat. And I was wondering about her husband, who's a doctor, ear, nose, and throat specialist, if he takes Medicare.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and with that question, I need to point out that our 2 hours is up in about 1 minute, so just quickly respond.
Sure.
To that. Sorry.
Sure, yeah, when you first asked, I thought, okay, wrong you, Matt. But yes, he is an ENT. They do take Medicare. They are in Kirkland, and that might be a good evaluation for you if you are interested in seeing somebody else.
And let me give the phone number for Northwest Face in Bellevue is 206-525-2525. That's 206-525-2525. They definitely, and Dr. Sunil Umat is Dr. Samira's Umat's husband. And a good place to go, 206-525-2525. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Bonnie.
With that said, thank you.
Good luck to you.
With that said, we're out of our 2 hours, but thank you for being here. And let me just say that if you want to make a free health analysis appointment, easy to do, simply go to lmclinic.com. Don't have that fatalistic attitude that you've just got to fall apart like everybody else. You don't. You really can feel and function better this coming year. And for many years, hopefully, than you did 5, 10, or even 20, 30 years ago. It's for real. Grab one of the free health analysis appointments at lmclinic.com. Or call and make your reservation at 866-86-YOUNG. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your weekend.